Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are joined by...
Hi, guys. I'm Michael John Hughes. I play Romeo in Spot Conlin, and I'm also the dance captain for Arena Stage production of Newsies.
And I'm Joe Montoya. I'm playing Crutchy.
Awesome. And, of course, we're talking Disney's Tony-winning musical Newsies, which comes to Arena Stage now through December 22nd. So the whole holiday season here. Thanks so much again for joining us.
Yeah,
All right, so I've seen the show. You're in the show. We all know what it's about. But let's pretend that maybe one of our listeners, you know, might be living under a rock the last 30 years or whatever and somehow missed the movie in the show. Someone would just take the basic, you know, lay out what the basic premise is here.
Newsies is about a group of newsboys and girls coming together to go on strike in the summer of 1899 when they realized that they're being exploited for their labor. And it's about the young people rising up to take charge and share their voice.
Absolutely. And tell us who they're going up against. They're going up against, two titans of media moguls at the time, which media moguls still run a lot today. There's a lot of parallels. But tell us who they're battling here.
Yeah, totally. So it's Joseph Pulitzer, who owned The World. And basically, he's charging the newsboys more money to buy his paper so that he can make a higher profit. So the newspaper boys have to, and girls have to sell more papers. So yeah, like Joe said, it's basically exploitation of these boys and girls and their working habits.
Awesome. Tell us about, it's inspired by true events, right?
Yes,
correct.
All right, cool. Tell us about our main character here, Jack. You know, like, give us a sense of what his arc is here, because he's sort of the newsboy, and I know you play Crutchy, who's like his, you know, best friend. But explain sort of Jack's journey from, you know, where did he start at the beginning, and then when audiences head home, how's Jack changed?
Well, Jack is the newsboy's leader. He is one of the older boys in this little group of ragamuffins, and he's orphaned, and he's really become a father figure for a lot of these boys and a leader, and has, you know, taught most of them the streets and how to survive in New York, and, you know, how to make a buck, he's the leader of us all, and he is who we rally around throughout this play. He leads us into finding our voices.
Awesome. Now, you use the phrase ragamuffins, which I think is perfect, because, also when you've seen news, it elicits that image of like the costumes and stuff you guys are wearing, you know, struggling on the streets of New York, trying to make it, you know, with newspapers in hand. Talk a little bit about sort of like, you know, visually, and of course we're radio, so try to paint me a visual picture here, but describe what the audiences are going to see in terms of, you know, the costumes of you guys and, you know, the newspaper outfits and the sets and that kind of thing. What are we going to see visually on stage?
Totally. So our set designer and costume designers really wanted to paint New York City. And so a lot of the set pieces that you'll see are made of metal and are like fire escapes, and our entire deck is painted cobblestone. So really trying to paint that New York City image, but at the same time really, really pinpointing the fact that we are the less than half of the working class of New York. We are poor. A lot of these boys are orphaned, don't even have parents. So a lot of the clothes we see are pretty tattered, probably things that we may have found on the streets or bought long, long time ago. And have basically we've been wearing these for maybe years even. We're very lived in, I would say. And what I really, really love about our production is that since we are in the round, there's really no escaping everything. So even throughout the entire promenade surrounding the house, there's hanging laundry. And so you really get the feeling of being in this space where we live. It's really like the Newsies space.
Yeah, the New York tenement is very present. We are inside one.
Correct.
That's awesome. And it's fun for us to come and, you know, be transformed back to that time and place too. Of course, we can't bury the lead. It is It is an amazing musical. Remind us some of the musical numbers. You know, I think of Carrying the Banner and Seize the Day. Of course, Seize the Day is probably the big one. But actually, I can't use that soundboy. But if I say it, I need to test it. So remind us, you know, list some of the songs and you know, what makes them great.
Yeah, so we have Carrying the Banner, and that opens the show. And what I love about that number, it's really setting up the newsboys' life. And what's great is that they really do take such pride in what they do, even though they are thought of as less than in a lot of people's eyes. They have such a freedom to what they do. I mean, so many kids at the time, and it's what we're fighting for in the show, are children who are working in factories and are also being exploited in different ways. But the newsies have a freedom in what they do because even though they are working for the world, they get to go out on their own and sell their paper. So basically, Carrying the Banner is a celebration of their lifestyle. And then soon after that one, we have The World Will Know. And so that is actually the beginning of the strike and when we finally get the idea to go on strike, created by Jack and Davey. And that number is really sticking it to Pulitzer and telling him and deciding for ourselves that what we're going through is not right and we're going to finally take action against it. And then, of course, we close Act One with Seize the Day, definitely probably the most iconic number of the show. And that number is truly us taking our stance and showing, making a public display of our strike in the most outward way possible. And then another really iconic number, King of New York, which opens Act Two. So we're pretty defeated in terms of what we've been through so far. I'm not going to ruin any of the plot points yet. But it's definitely a lower point in the show for some of the newsies. But we do find out that we've made the papers, the front page of the papers. And to us, it's us living in that minute, 15 minutes of fame that so many people seek. But especially at the time, I mean, papers were everything. So being on the front page of the papers is really, really insane. So yeah, it's a celebration of that. And then other numbers like Once and For All is us finally spreading the word to everyone about our it's like the final breaking point for the newsies in their strike.
Awesome. And talk about just, you know, how it's also, it's the lyrics are Jack Feldman, but the music is Alan friggin' Menken. You know, we all grew up watching all of his Disney songs. Just generally, I mean, what is Menken's magic, guys?
Menken is the voice of Disney. It's kind of undeniable, but he has a certain beautiful melodic quality to him where the melody is inescapable and essential. And I mean, one of the most gorgeous songs is Santa Fe, which is Jack's main song. And that motif plays throughout this score as the newsboys hope, as that promise of a brighter future or somewhere out there that we can take charge and have our own lives. And so you'll hear that motif play throughout the score. It's not overused to excess, but if you listen to the show a little bit more carefully, you'll hear it in certain scenes, and it's been transformed and refigured, and Menken just has that knowledge coming from his theater background. And then he brought it back to Broadway with Newsies, because it was originally a film. And that's something that is important in film scoring, is repetition and motifs, and he brought that back to Broadway.
Absolutely. And you mentioned that, of course, that it was, you know, a film there in I think it was like 1992, maybe? 92, the Disney movie version, which it's ironically, it was the movie first and then became a musical, which usually it's the other way around.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
When did you guys first encounter it? Did you watch the, you know, the movie growing up, or did you just sort of discover it, you know, when you became a stage actor?
Yeah, it's funny. So I didn't really know about the movie growing up. I mean, I watched a lot of the classic Disney movies, but Newsies was never a movie. My parents purchased on VHS for me, I guess.
it was mostly the animated ones for me, not the live action.
Yeah, but it's really funny because I remember singing Santa Fe in a voice lesson that I had when I was like 13, maybe. and I, at the time I was like, oh, Newsies. And I had heard of it, but yeah, I didn't see the movie until I was in college, like soon before the Broadway show opened.
I came to it first as a musical on stage, and I knew of it, had seen clips from the film, and I wasn't the most familiar. This is actually my first production and a first full through experience of the show, which is exciting because it's approaching it new and fresh, and I don't have a preconceived idea of how it should be, or I missed the scene like this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No.
You mentioned VHS, and speaking of, you know, outdating or changing technology, a lot of people, you know, when that movie came out, newspapers were still everywhere. It was still a thing, but now, you know, talk about when audiences are coming here, there might be younger members of the audience who probably, some may have never even flipped through a newspaper, which is insane to me. But how do you think Harvey Fierstein doing the book, you know, and adapting this thing for the stage, it's still a very popular musical. So how do you think, it transcends, you know, the fact that technology has changed and maybe not all the audiences still know newspapers? Why do you think Newsies still, you know, captures them? Is it taking them back to a previous time and saying, hey, here's what it used to look like? Or there's certain themes in the show that are just, you know, that are timeless?
I think it's pretty timeless. Our director likes to say that she really believes that eventually Newsies may become a golden standard musical, which truly in 60 years, I think Newsies probably will still be done. Mm-hmm. And be thought of in that way. But what I love about this production is that there's so many parallels to what's happening in the current climate, and literally climate, because there's so many children fighting for their voice now. And what's amazing is that technology, yes, has shifted in such phenomenal ways. But at the time, newspapers is how the word was spread. But in this day and age, we do have Instagram and we do have the internet. And even though these children at that time were using newspapers to send this message, in this day and age, we do have people fighting for climate change and fighting for LGBTQ rights, all through like current modalities. So I think that it's really just a parallel.
Yeah, I think we definitely use, while the variety of outlets have changed, I mean, newspapers were the predominant media outlet in the turn of the century, but there were also pamphlets and things people could buy off the street, and I think today we just have that in our phones, in addition to newspapers and magazines and what other forms of media we can purchase. But the message is still timeless about people speaking out and using their voices to fight for what they believe in and to fight to change the world and create the one that they want to be in. Because, I mean, I think that Molly Smith is doing an incredible job in connecting the dots to what is in this it's in this film from 1992 talking about a reality that from 1899 to something still so relevant about young people fighting and tooth and nail and using their wits and using their moxie and their heart to demand a place at the table in 2019, and it's going to continue into 2020, and I think for a long time until we can start to change some things on a grander scale with what's going on in our world.
I think you're 100% right. That, you know, the mediums might change over time, you know, maybe then it was newspapers, but now it's, you know, social media and, you know, grassroots, you know, organizing, all that kind of stuff. And I mean, you guys are young people fighting against media moguls with Pulitzer and Randolph Hearst, who was Citizen Kane also, obviously. And now we have a media mogul, you know, running the country and young people, right? You know, so there are a lot of parallels. There are a lot of parallels.
Definitely.
Awesome. Tell me a little bit about why it's just so special to be able to do this at Arena. I mean, obviously you guys, you know, have acted in, you know, various different theaters around town. You know, what makes, you know, what, you know, Molly does at Arena so special and so nurturing, not only, you know, for new plays, but also, you know, classics like this?
It really is an extraordinary place. They that everyone at this theater just cares so much about what they do, and it makes the biggest difference in the world. And you will feel that coming in to see the show. Just the fact that we've spent so much time, aside from actually dancing the choreography and learning the music and hitting our marks, just really diving into the world of a play and talking with each other about the aim of our characters and the aim of this show and what we are trying to accomplish on a much larger scale rather than just we sing this and we dance that. It really, quality is such a standard here, and it makes the largest difference in the world.
Mm-hmm. I think Arena is just a spectacular company. Everyone wants to be here and dive in and create something wonderful and create and that's not just a wonderful play, but a wonderful work environment, a great room. We got a lovely letter called The Conduct of the Rehearsal Hall in our packets, you know, when we were welcomed in. And it's fantastic. I love coming to work.
Yeah, everyone is valued here for what they do, and everyone's uniqueness and their individuality is praised and used.
Awesome. Just sort of in closing, tell me a little bit about your guys' selves. Where did you grow up, and how did you, what was the first, you know, seed planted? Was it like a high school musical? You know what I mean? Like, just, I want to know a little bit about you guys.
Yeah. So this is Michael John. I'm from North Jersey. I'm from right outside of New York City. So I got to go into New York all the time when I was little. So the first Broadway show I ever saw was Lion King, which was amazing. But it's funny, I remember the first thing that actually got me into acting and performing or an interest in it was I saw a movie called The Little Vampire, which so obscure, with starring Jonathan Lipnicki. I must come out in the late 90s. And I remember turning to my mom and saying, I want to do that. And it's funny because I was 5. And even thinking back, I don't even know what it was that made me want to do that, like be on screen. But that led me to taking acting classes, which then led me to take musical theater classes. So I was doing musicals at a studio nearby since I was about 8. And then I went to school, a high school called Bergen County Academies, where I got to major in theater, and then went on to study musical theater at Pace University and have thankfully been working in musicals since. It's been amazing.
Mm-hmm. This is Joe here. I'm originally from Los Angeles, where I grew up, and I got into theater, really acting. I saw a little film called Spy Kids.
Yeah.
I saw a little film called Spy Kids. And I think about this now, but there is something really significant about seeing casts full of, Latin actors being, super spies, in this world. But my dad turned to me in the theater. I was very small. He's like, hey, you could do that. And then, I don't know, it just sort of inspired me. I started doing community theater, and then I went to the high school for performing arts out there in L.A., the LOXA, proud alum. And then I went to Pace University as well for music theater. And I've, been working in musicals. I've done, done some plays, and I'm breaking into some camera work, which is very exciting, because, the camera and the world of film is a lot different from the stage when you're, brought up on theater and acting in front of people. It's a little different with a camera in your face. But, yeah, no, I'm from that old West Coast place, and I moved to New York 5 years ago.
Awesome. And now it all comes full circle for you guys. Now you're at Arena Stage doing Disney's Newsies. Again, everybody come check it out. It's November 1st. Well, it's already going. Now through December 22nd. In closing, just if their listeners been listening to this, why should they come on after this? Whether they've seen it before, whether they've never seen it, never heard of it, hard to believe, but whatever their past is, why should they come out?
You should come see Newsies because it truly is a universal story, and it is about people taking a stand for what they believe is right. And it's done in a dynamic, entertaining, beautiful, challenges your perception sort of way.
Yeah, I think you'll never see a production of Newsies like this. And I don't think you've ever seen it so fresh. And if you feel powerless and, like, you don't know what or how to do something about anything that is upsetting you right now with what is going on in politics, with decisions seeming to be made for us and for our country, come see Newsies. It will inspire you. It will lift you up. It will make you feel like you have a voice and will remind you do.